That was your chance. That was your chance. You gotta wait the next Sunday now. You don't miss it. Some of y'all gonna be doing that tonight when the Lions beat Kansas City. You're gonna be doing. We should be more excited about Jesus. I'll say this every week. We need to be just as excited and exceedingly more for what we just took communion, what those represent. How many know we're on our way to heaven? We have eternal life in us. Our sins are gone. There's no addiction can hold a child of God, because who the Son sets free, you walk in that freedom. I don't care what you're going through. Come on, yeah. Stir it up. You got to stir it up sometimes. You got to stir it up sometimes. Stir it up. I don't feel like it. You're never going to feel like it. You're never going to feel like reading. You're never going to feel like worship. The flesh don't feel like doing nothing but Netflix and chill and gain 30 pounds. The flesh, if we did nothing, we just die. We know that. You got to fight against that. Did I say Netflix and chill? King David, when they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant in, he began to dance with all of his might. And we're going to preach now. You don't miss it, but I'm just going to tell you. He took his garment off. And why did the Bible say that? Because that garment represented his status as king, his religiosity. He's so dignified. He took it off. So you got to get rid of that when you really want to express your love for Jesus. And you're either going to do it because you want to, because he's been good to you, or the other guy in the Bible who took off his garment was blind Bartimaeus. It took him being blind and desperate to reach out for Jesus. So you're either going to be thankful for how good he has been to you, and you're going to dance. You're going to dance because he's so good, or you're going to wait until you get so messed up, so desperate that you gotta beg God to get his attention. You can be blind Bartimaeus all you want. I want to be King David. I want to be King David because he's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. I dare you to get out of your seat and just move a little bit. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Tell your neighbor to move. Watch out. I came to praise the Lord. Come on, I dare you. There you go. There you go. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Go praise you, Jesus. Come on. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for setting me free. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! More chains on me. Yeah. Yeah. You know what the Bible says? It says he danced with all his might. I mean, that right there, I didn't dance with all my might. I was just moving a little bit. You ever dance with all your might? Remember Soul Train back in the days? How many grew up? I grew up with Soul Train. They had that line. They were sweating. And they get in the middle. They be going to town, baby. They didn't care who was around. They sweating. They're dancing with all their might. Your Bible says David did that in church. It says when Jesus come riding in on a donkey, they begin to do it too. They begin to grab palm branches. I'm just telling you, man, we got this church thing all wrong sometimes. It's not who can be the most quiet. Where you get that from? This river of life. We got life up in here. We want the river to flow. We want the river to flow, but it's got to flow through us. It's got to flow through us. You got to let it flow. Tell your neighbor, let it flow. You can't be concerned about what people think about you. They don't think that much about you anyway. One person said, Pastor Randy, I come to church, man, but everyone knows I ain't been there in a minute. They're going to look at me. I said, man, ain't nobody even, everybody's got so many problems of their own right now. They're not worried about your problem. They're trying to get a hold of Jesus for themselves. And I'm telling you how to do it. You got to get undignified. You got to throw that garment off. You got to move a little bit. You got to raise your voice. You got to get excited about Jesus. What y'all want to do? Yeah. We used to tear it up for the world. I was 13 years old walking around by a little piece of cardboard. About to get my breakdance on. Some of y'all know nothing about that. You just had to hit a beat and I was going. Y'all, some of you too, get saved, man, and we forget that. Listen, no. Your body was made to move. We went to South Africa, man, and they had church. They showed us how to have church. She got up. She said, God made your body to move. I was like, man, that is so anointed. And, brother, they began to move. They were blowing whistles. They had sticks. They had it all. And you know what, man? It was the best service I've ever been in my life. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to preach. I got 20 minutes to give you this message. 30. 35. But next week, we're going to do that little first song that calls you to worship so everybody gets out of the cafe and gets in their seat. We're going to do announcements. And then when we hit that music, hear me today. When we hit this music, you better bust a move on the devil. Rob Bass had it right. It takes two to make a thing go. I'm telling you, it's Jesus and you. How many feel like rocking right now? Come on, I ain't getting no help in this church today. Okay. We're gonna preach now. All right. You're gonna think about this, because I'm gonna remember next week. Steve, you gonna remember next week? You gonna remember next week? Thursday when they're practicing, y'all gonna remember, Pastor Eddie said, we're gonna worship 9 a.m. They didn't hear this, so they're gonna be woke up like, wow, what is going on next Sunday at 9? I don't care what service you're going to, we're gonna go after God. We cannot lose the praise in this church. I know you wanna hear the word, and we come to hear the word, but we've got enough word. I'm gonna give you the word, it's gonna be good, and God bless you. But I'm saying, don't wait, we can't just be a dried up church. I refuse to have that happen here. I won't come here. If you all get all dried up on me, I will, honey, let's go. You're coming up here. Y'all can have that. I need some Holy Ghost, I need something. I mean, it's not in the feelings, but when God shows up, y'all feel something. On a day of Pentecost, they felt something. When Paul laid his hands on them, they felt something. When Peter was preaching, something fell on them. It's not in the goosebumps, but it can be. God does move us because we're emotional people. And this isn't being, God gave you those emotions for a reason. Love him with all of your mind. Some of us got that down to a D. But also with all of your soul, your emotions. That means love him with the emotions that you have. Love something else, why not love him? That's sermon number one. Y'all get that? You got it? All right, open your Bibles to Matthew 5. We're going through the Beatitudes, and I'm going to talk about the Word of God for a few minutes. And then, I don't know, we may do this again. Worship team, go take a break. Some of you may be back. Bless them heart. We wear them out. Thank God for them. Thank God. I love this church. And God's got his hand on this church because we let the Spirit of the Lord move. And we got to just keep that going. Jesus is teaching the Beatitudes here. And then it's a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. And so he just finished the Beatitudes. Now he's going to talk about the importance of the Word of God. And so I purposely got a short message because I knew I was not going to get this out in 2 weeks or in one sermon. So I'm at least going to go 2 weeks on the importance of why you should read your Bible. The title of this message is The Changing Power of the Unchanging Word of God. We dance and celebrate, but we got to also know why you're dancing and celebrating, right? It's because of what we have a problem of Bible illiteracy in our nation today, and so we need to get into the Word. Jesus talks about the Bible in Matthew 5:17. He says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I didn't come to destroy the law, come to fulfill the law, come to show you the purpose of the law." You guys missed it. You had it all wrong. "For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by any means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of God. But whoever does not," Matthew's being nice there, because in Luke, "you do that, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But he shall be called great." Verse 20, "For I say to you," everybody say, "That's me," "that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. You won't go to heaven unless you are more righteous than the Pharisees. That's deep. We're going to explain that. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your spirit that's here, Almighty God. Give us a heart to hear. And Lord, I've already prayed what you want to do in this service. Every service is your service. Your will be done. Help me to say only what you need me to say today. And we ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a high five and say, let's preach. Let's preach. Amen. Let's preach. Thank you, Jesus. I love the Word of God. I am a Word person. I'm a person of the Spirit. You need the Spirit and the Word. And you guys have heard me talk about how much I love the Bible. The Bible has transformed my life, and it will transform your life. It is given to us for those reasons. It is the unchanging Word of God. So much so that Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away before one little jot or tittle will pass away. What's a jot? What's a tittle? Those are the two smallest Hebrew letters and punctuation marks in the Hebrew literature. It's like saying the lowercase I in English and a comma, okay, will never pass away. He's saying, in other words, all of it is going to be necessary for your life. And we'll really bring that out next week. All of this is necessary for your life. It all has a purpose. Even Leviticus. It shows you how appreciative you are of pork chops when you read Leviticus. Amen. There's a purpose for all of the laws. There's a purpose for all of it. And when you get into the Word, you really start to understand it. But he says that the smallest part of it will never pass away. People have tried to stop the Bible since its inception, since its beginning. They tried to come together and stop the replicating of Scripture. They went after the printing presses of all the guys, all the way back from, if you've been to any of these, I should have looked some of these up because my mind has escaped me, but the enemy has tried to stop the Word of God. If he can't stop the Word of God, he'll try to pervert the Word of God. You're really going to hear that next week. But he's tried to stop the Word of God. But God always has the last laugh. This is the best. This is one of the funniest stories in the world here. This is a guy. I got a picture of him. He's a French writer and a philosopher. His name was Voltaire. Sounds like a philosopher. Don't he? Voltaire. Amen. He spent his entire life, very educated man. He was a philosopher, and he had a library. And he spent all of his life writing against God and against Christians and against his word. He hated God. This guy was famous for hating God. Verbally, he just went. His famous quote was, "I will go through the forest of Scripture and I will girdle all the trees so that in 100 years, Christianity will be nothing more than a vanished memory." Girdle some trees. Okay, go for it, Voltaire. Then he died. Watch this. In a few years after he died, his library was purchased by the British Bible Society. And ironically, the same library was filled with Bibles from top to bottom, with thousands and thousands of copies made available for the entire community. Why, heaven and earth will pass away before one little jot or tittle will pass away. God will always have the last laugh. His Bible was here before we got here. His word will be here long after we're gone, if Jesus tarries. His word is there. Why? Because his word was not written by man. This Bible was not written by man. Hear me, it was written through man. It was not written by man, it was written through man by the inspiration, which means God breathed into them. Have you ever seen an artist, and musicians have done it, and they write songs, and they say that something moved them to write them? Now, I grew up in a hip-hop culture, but I also, my older brother who was here at 9 a.m., it was so cool to see him. He was a rock and roller, and so he turned me on to some of the classic rock, Led Zeppelin. So I've always liked music, and I'll never forget Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. They wrote Stairway to Heaven in 15 minutes, and he says this. Plant said it was like someone was moving my hand as he wrote that song. I'm telling you, that what is it? It's a spirit. There's a spirit. We live in a very spiritual world. Flip that around. The ways of God are spiritual. These men in the Bible were also moved by the Holy Spirit to write the scriptures that we have today. There's a scripture that says it, and I want you just to see the miracle of the Bible that you have, okay? This is so good for you to know. Many of you probably already know this, but 2 Peter 1 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved," there's that word, "inspired, moved by the Holy Spirit." It's a miracle work of God that we have this book. This book is not just one book. Just look at it. It's 66 books written through 40 different writers, over a period of 1,500 to 1,600 years, over three different continents these writers lived and did not interact. There was no Facebook or TikTok. And written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. But yet they all tell one story. Do you know how amazing that is by itself? Close the book, let's say amen and go home. That right there is enough to get anybody listening interested in what this book says. It is a miracle of God that we have this book. And God preserved his book over all this time for us to see. You can go and look up archaeological artifacts, and digs are going on right now because they looked up cities and locations that this book says they went to and found it just like they said. The Bible said there was a global flood. Can I tell you that there was a flood on earth? The story and the myth of a flood is in 240 different cultures. Not just one or two, okay, it would be like, that's just kind of a coincidence. 240 ancient cultures around the globe has no way to communicate with one another, all record a guy that had a god who rescued him and some animals on a boat and saved them from a flood. There are seashells on top of the mountain in Turkey. There are seashells on top of a mountain in the Mount Ararat in Turkey, where the Ark of Noah is believed to have rested on. It is also, there are all kinds of discoveries that I can go on and on and on. Why? Because the Bible said it to be true, it happened. Another thing is why you can't believe the Bible, because it was written, you know, over all the years, words get changed and they get misplaced, words drop out. You know, I remember the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea had nothing to do with scriptures, by the way, those of you who are on YouTube. They talked all about the deity of Christ. Scripture was already canonized before that council. It had nothing to do with it. The Catholic Church didn't write the Bible. No, Peter was never a pope. He said, "I am least of all the saints of the church." These are just traditional things that we have in our mind, and we try to make excuses to not believe in scripture is what we really do. When we were in Israel, it was such an awesome to be able to go there. And now that there's a peace deal, and which is a great thing happening in Israel, by the way, and hostages are being released, aren't you happy for that? Isn't that good? We might get some peace in the Middle East. We might go back and visit, amen, and be able to go. You need to go to the Holy Land. It is awesome to go and see and walk where David danced before the Lord. You can go see that, where the place where it was. When we were over in Israel, we got to go to the Dead Sea area and the caves of Qumran, which are the caves that they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls. How many's heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? The Dead Sea Scrolls is one of the best and most mind-blowing discovery in the 21st century. In 1946 is when these books were discovered, thousands of fragments of the Bible, even some predate the flood, like the Book of Enoch and some of these other books were writings that were that old. And what I love about it is people have tried to say the Bible is, you know, has been changed. There's no way that story has been the same over all these years. Well, they found the entire book of Isaiah, which is one of the most important books in the whole Bible, is the book of Isaiah, which was written 600 years before Jesus came, and it's inside of a building. I've been there. My wife and I, or many of you that went with us, you saw it. It's an entire, this scroll is unraveled all the way around behind glass and lit up. Watch this, and you can take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah, open it up, and go verse by verse, watch this, word by word, 100% accurate as it was 4,000 or 5,000 years ago as it is today. There's more proof that Jesus was alive in the Son of God. There's more proof of Jesus than there is of Socrates, of Plato, even Abraham Lincoln. There's more proof of this. Why? Because the Bible is true, and God has watched over his word ever since the writers, moved by the Holy Spirit, would write about the Bible. God protected his word and watched it and preserved it for you and I to look into today. It's the power of the Bible, but it's more than historical. It's more than just the historical. And I can go 2 hours on that. Look up some guys that are great apologists that are out there. That Vadi Bachman, who we just lost in the church world a couple of weeks ago, V-O-D-D-I-E, Vadi Bachman, look him up. He was a football player, got radically saved, and went into academia, very educated man, and would go to these Ivy League colleges inside and would debate scripture. You can ask him anything, and he always came from a historical context. Yeah, it changes our lives, and I'm going to get to that here in a moment. But from an atheistic point of view or an agnostic point of view, you don't even have to say, I believe it because it changed my life. You can say, I believe it because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses, moved upon by the Holy Spirit to record supernatural events and prophecies that have come to pass, period. So when they say, why do you believe the Bible? You can say it changed my life, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But you can also believe the Bible because it is a collection of reliable historical documents that people use today. It does change lives. Why? Because God is more interested, write this down, he's more interested in the who than in the do. This is the difference between Christianity and religion. You hear me say it all the time. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. I'm not a religious person. Well, this is what I mean by that. God is interested in the who you are becoming more than the things that you do. Religion is about doing without becoming. Religion is about doing as long as you go to church, as long as you do a prayer, as long as you light a candle, as long as you give money, as long as you do something good. But you can still be filled with lust and greed and selfishness and pride. That's religion. Jesus said, I come to flip it around and tell you that you were called to become sons of God. That's where the Beatitudes came in. And he's given us, so this is the how you do it, by studying the scripture, and I'm going to show you how. So you become. Now, good works, what are they for then? We're supposed to do good works. Absolutely. Good works are intended to draw people to us as we draw them to Christ. That's why you do good work. So when they look at you and go, man, you didn't rip me off. You did something good. You know, you went to bat and you did that. You heard I was sick and you brought me over some chicken noodle soup. You opened the door for me. Nowadays, that's a huge deal because we live in such a life that everybody's for themselves. I mean, so when you do a good deed, and they ask you why you do that, or wow, why are you so nice, or why are you different at work? How come you're not in these conversations when we just, but how come you're not hating on people? How come you got peace? How come you're like so balanced in the things of God? Don't you see what's going on? You say, yeah, let me show you why. Because I know the shepherd. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Why? Because he is with me. See, our good deeds draw people to the light, which we point them to Jesus. Ooh, I'm glad I came to church today. So God is more interested in shaping our hearts than guiding our steps. He was, I'm going to read the Bible and, you know, and get God to guide my steps. He's more interested in shaping our heart. And the only people that have a problem with the Bible, the only people that try changing the Bible are those who refuse to be changed by it. Let me say it again. Those who try to change the Bible are those who refuse to be changed by the Bible. Why does that happen? Because here's my one and only point. Write it down. The primary purpose of the Bible is to lead us to its author. That's what I want you to know. This is the primary reason why you read the Bible, why you have scripture, is to lead you, number one, the first elementary principle is to lead you to the author. I'm going to say something that's going to really shock you, a couple things, if I haven't already. Here's one of them. If you think reading scripture by itself is going to renew your mind, you're in for a shock. Because the Pharisees would have had the most renewed mind ever. They read the Bible more than anybody. They had their phylactery on their head with scriptures in it. They had scriptures on their doorposts. They had scriptures in the morning. They read their scriptures 3 and 5 times a day. How many times do you read your Bible a day? Pharisees did it religiously, and yet their minds were constantly dull to the things of God. Why? Because scripture is important, but it's never intended to be read all by itself. It's intended to lead you to the person of scripture. If you don't believe me, take Jesus' words, for instance. He says, you search the scriptures. He's talking to the Pharisees. You search the scriptures in John 5 because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. But you refuse to come to me that you may have life. They had their scripture. That must have been the funniest thing ever. He's got that big box on his head, his scripture. And Jesus says, you think you're going to heaven because you know the scripture? The scriptures talk about me. They're pointing you to me. But you refuse. Hear me. You refuse to believe in me and make me the Lord of your life. And so you're going to miss heaven with all of your information because only I can bring transformation in a person's heart. And you refuse to let me in. That's why he says in Revelation 3:21, behold, I knock at the door. I stand at the door and knock. If any of you would hear my voice, read my scripture, would what? Walk away saying, yep, I heard a good message. No, would open the door and let me in. Then I will be with you and you will be with me. And we're going to eat and we're going to be friends and we're going to be family. Listen, scripture is paramount, but it's always meant to bring us to a deeper level with Jesus Christ himself. Where you look at Jesus as you read the scriptures and you begin to let Jesus transform your life and you follow him in your living. You become a better husband. You become a better dad. You become a better mom. You become a better coworker, a better truck driver, a better any person because you are becoming more like Christ. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you're going to miss heaven. Because they had the scriptures, but they didn't have the heart. They had scriptures, but they didn't have Jesus. And here's another thing I'm going to say. It's going to shock you. Can you handle it? You okay? You doing okay? All right. We're getting close to, well, nothing. The devil don't mind if you're a moral person. The devil don't mind if you're a moral person. Watch this, because you can miss heaven and be a moral person. Let that sit, because the Bible says the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbeliever, and this is what he's blinded us with. If you just be a good person, if you just pray, you know, if you just do some good deeds, if you volunteer at the Harvest Fest, please, we need you, yeah. But if you do this, you'll go to heaven. If you don't lie, if you don't cheat on your wife, if you don't cheat on your husband, you pay your taxes, you give the guy in the corner that's looking at you wanting some money, you give him some change, you'll go to heaven. That's the narrative of religion. Am I right? Yeah. You and I don't need morals to go to heaven. You and I need Jesus. Please don't ever forget that. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. You need Jesus. So, and Jesus, nobody has a problem with Jesus until you define him. If you say he's love, everybody's like, yeah, I'm down with that. Love tattooed on my heart. Let me get a tattoo that says love. Everybody's cool with love. But when you begin to define Jesus from the scriptures, because the scriptures point to Jesus. When you begin to read the rest of this chapter, when Jesus says, you've heard it said of old, if you commit adultery, you'll be guilty of committing adultery. But I say unto you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Whoa, Jesus said that? Yes, he did, brother. Yeah. You have heard it said of old, if you commit murder, put a knife in somebody, you're a murderer. But I say to you, I'm fulfilling what y'all should have got when it said, thou shalt not commit a murder. But since you only took that technically thinking, I got to physically put a knife in somebody, Jesus said, I got to come along and fulfill what my father was trying to tell y'all. And that is this, if you hate somebody because their skin is a different color, because they make different money, because they grew up in another neighborhood, or even if they hurt you, if you hate them, you're guilty of murder in your heart. That's why they crucified him. They ain't down for that. They ain't down for that, Jesus. But Jesus is saying, when you read these scriptures, see, when you read these scriptures, it's going to move you to a question that everybody must answer. You ready for the number one question that your kids has got to answer, and you've got to answer, and everybody watching on TV or through the live stream has got to answer, is this: who do you say he is? He asked his disciples that. Who do people say that I am? They said, well, Jesus, they think you're John the Baptist, reincarnated. Because, by the way, when you don't have Jesus, you'll start having your own interpretations of Scripture. See, Jesus points you, the Scriptures point you to Jesus, and if you don't have Jesus as a person in your life and you're submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, you'll only go and find Scriptures that line up with how you're feeling. You'll only find scriptures that try to twist it and make it say what you want it to say. And I can make that Bible say anything I want it to say. I can tell you that right now. I can tell you that you should cut your eye out of your head. I can go take you to a scripture right now and say, if you've ever lusted, you should pluck your eye out. I can do that and be in the scripture. But that's called twisting the scripture. That's not leaving the scripture in its context. Everybody say context. And if you take the text out of the context, you're just left with a con. Just like the Bible said, I got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says, well, I've been to the river and I've been baptized. And my soul, I don't know. Steve, where you at, Steve? You got to stay on that keyboard, brother. Hear me now. You can make the scripture say anything you want when you isolate scripture. And I'm going to show you that next week. You can't do that. Jesus, it always points to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He came to his own, the scripture says, starting to close real soon. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. Let me just land on that moral thing. Listen, being moral is good, but being moral without Christ is not good. That's not salvation. The scriptures always point us to Christ. And Jesus is all in the scripture. He's from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And he's saying, let me in to your lives. And the scripture points to that. You study the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. It's the spirit of the author with the Word of God that brings change to our hearts. That's how our lives are changed, is when you go through the Scripture, it's the Spirit, the same Spirit that moved upon the writers to write the Scripture is the same Spirit that will sit there and begin to put these Scriptures together for you and bring change in your life and bring transformation in your life. It gives you a love and a hunger for the Word of God. But you got to believe that it is the Word of God. Here it is. You got to believe that it is the Word of God. If it's just another book with some, you know, some good things in it, and you don't value it as the Word of God, and I'm really going to talk about this next week, it won't change your life. You've got to look at it as the Word of God. It is inerrant. Inerrant, it's without error. That is perfect. That is God breathed. You got to look at it like that. If not, it won't bring change in your life. Look at the Scripture. The Scripture says that Paul is writing to the Thessalonians, and he says, and we thank God continually, watch this, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which indeed is indeed at work in your life who hear it. No, who believe. You see that? You got to have that faith that activates the Word of God. If you don't believe this is the Word of God, it's not going to do you no good. Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees did not believe he was the Son of God. They're 8 feet away from God in the flesh. And they're arguing with them. Well, why did this happen? Why is the Son of Man? Why did we do the same thing? You got to peel that apart and say, I believe. You got it there. You got to choose to believe. I choose to believe. You have that ability in you to choose. God's given all of us that ability to choose. And you don't got to worry about hell. I love C.S. Lewis because he always says that hell is locked from the inside. It's you that can unlock that by willingly believing in Jesus Christ, saying he is the Son of God. He's not just a historical figure. So that question you got to answer, who do men say that I am? He's either a historical figure, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. I'm telling you, when you read the Scriptures, it's supposed to point you to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as you do that, it starts to open up to you guys. It starts to open up to us, and we're able to read it, and it begins to go in our hearts and begins to change our lives. Amen? Baby's saying, hurry up. Hallelujah. Let me end that right there, because I don't want to start another thing. Do you get that? The main purpose of Scripture is to bring you to the author. Worship team, why don't you come? Why don't you stand, everybody else stand to your feet right now as we start to close out the service. We did a little bit of everything today. But it comes down to this. I want to give you two questions. Number one, if you're here and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, like you've never been all in. I was down at Life Challenge this Tuesday. I get to preach on Tuesday mornings at chapel from times, and I love it. About 50 men down there, many of them come from the jails, and it's either an option to go to Life Challenge or go to prison. They go to Life Challenge. It's a rehab center for people that are struggling with substance abuse, and so many have different backgrounds. And I just preached a message about being all in, Jesus being the Lord of your life, and five people, men, gave their hearts to Jesus for the first time ever. Yeah, yeah. We had people here at this church last week say yes to Jesus for the first time. I'm praying this Saturday at the Harvest Fest, when people are bringing their kids for candies, they're going to hear the message every hour. Phil and Naeli are preaching at the top of 1 hour. We've got Felicia and Lindsay, our directors, are preaching the gospel. And then Steve and I, every hour on the hour from 3 to 6, we're going to gather people. And when you're here, guys, be praying that something we say and something they hear, that God will just get a hold of their heart and they'll be drawn to Jesus. That's why we put this on and do this. But what about you today, watching online or here? Are you ready to receive Christ? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? How do you know that? It's not because you've been a good person. That doesn't get you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is knowing Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, making him the Lord of your life, putting your faith in him. So with your heads bowed today, and if you're here today, say, Pastor Eddie, pray for me because I'm not sure, but I want to be sure today. Would you just lift your hand? I want to see if there's more. Amen. See that hand. Anyone else? Lift that hand high. Yep, see that hand back there. Amen. Amen. Two of you. Anyone else? Real high. Amen. See your hand over there. That's three. Any more? Any more? Four. Amen. You can put it down once you raise it up. Raise it up high if you haven't already. Say, pray for me. I just want to know who you are. Altar team, why don't you come up here to the front and just fill this front up. The second question is for the rest of you. You say, I love Jesus. I'm going to heaven. He's the Lord of my life, man. But I've been struggling in the Word. I'm not in my Word like I want to, and I want that hunger. How many would say that's me? I need that hunger. Come on, I know probably everybody here, my hand's up. I gotta keep it going. I gotta stir it up myself. I just wanna pray over you if you're here and say, I need that hunger. But you gotta first acknowledge that, see? I'm not gonna pray for you, but if you would say, that's me, I need to get my Word back. I need to get a love for God's Word back in my heart. Pray for me. I wanna pray over you. Amen. So I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to dismiss, and you, those that want prayer are going to be able to come forward and get prayer. That's how we're going to do that. So I want to pray for those that raise your hand to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. First of all, thank you for responding to that. That's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And how do you do that? It's a choice in your heart. That scripture earlier, he came to his own, and his own received him not. It says, but to those that received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God. Not born of man, but born of the Spirit. That's how you get born again. Is you make that decision in your heart to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And you want to make him the Lord of your life. So that's turning from sin and your selfish way of living and following his way of living, which is in this book. If you're ready to do that, you raise your hand. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. I want you to say, Heavenly Father. In fact, everybody can pray. Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. I come to you today as a sinner. I need forgiveness. Forgive me of all my sin, for I have sinned, and I confess it to you today. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and rose again on the third day. And I confess with my mouth that I make him my Lord today. And from this day forward, help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, and God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his presence, his promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.